all across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
Good day. I'm Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today here on Veterans Radio, and thanks for joining us. We've got some interesting stories for you. We always want to remind you, you can find more about Veterans Radio at its Facebook site or at the web, veteransradio.org, where we're on the web 24/7. You can find a lot of our podcasts there as well. We post new ones every Tuesday, so you can get a new story, a new interview, something you didn't know before by going to veteransradio.org. And before we get started, we want to thank our sponsors. First up, we want to thank National Veteran Business Development Council, NVBDC.org. It was established to certify both service-disabled and veteran-owned businesses. You'll find out how they can help your business by going to NVBDC.org. We want to thank Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans fights for veterans' disability rights all across the nation. You can reach them at 800-693-4800 or on the web at legalhelpforveterans.com. And finally, PuroClean. PuroClean is the paramedics of property damage. It provides water damage remediation, flood water removal, fire and smoke damage remediation, mold removal, biohazard cleanup. It also has a focus on veteran franchisees. You can learn more about them by going to puroclean.com. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today David W. Brown, a Navy SEAL in the 1980s. We're going to talk about his life, though, because I think there's a whole lot of life lessons in there, and we love giving pearls of wisdom to our Veteran Radio listeners. David, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be being here.
Well, the book is titled And Goliath. You get the inside joke on this when you realize his first name is David, and he's not the biggest, roughest, toughest guy you've ever met. So it's a David and Goliath story, and it's the subtitled The Littlest Navy SEAL's Inspirational Story About Living Your Biggest Life. It's really a good read. David, you were, you know, from the get-go, your mom and dad, your genetics, you were never going to be a big guy, were you?
No. I started off small and stayed small. And you know what? In the end, it's okay with me.
Absolutely. It's all about a mindset, and it's really about, your book is not the typical how to become a Navy SEAL book or how to do leadership. It's really about talking about that kind of human condition and being able to be resilient and getting through things and being, you know, persistent and determined, you know, having determination. But those were skills, whether they were inbred, you know, genetic, was it nature or nurture? Talk to us about your early years of being the littlest guy in every class.
Well, I didn't know that I was going to be the littlest person going into even kindergarten or grade school. It just happened that way. And as I started getting older, you know, and I advanced into the grades, the typical thing happens. And when you're the smallest person in the class, you get picked on. And I was picked on. And one of the very important moments in my life was when I ran home to my mom and I was crying, and I said, you know, the kid's picking on me, what do I do? And she was a fiery Irish redheaded woman, and she picked me up on her knee and sat me down and said, nobody's going to pick on my little boy. And she made me make a fist and punch her hand, and I punched it. She said, now you punch, this is how you punch, you do this. And she did, I did it several times. So I was like laughing, I'm like, yes, I'm gonna stick up for myself. And you know, you go and you stick up for yourself, you know, you, if somebody picks on you, punch them right in the kisser. And so I went to school, and as you can imagine, I got in a fight with the kid that always picked on me, and we you know, we're in third grade, so it's not, this is push and shove and punch this, then, and then nobody really won the fight, and we ended up becoming friends later on, but it was a big, influence for me, and my mother helped me bring that confidence out that I could stick up for myself. It's not like I wanted to go out and get into a fight, but that certainly things worth having were worth fighting for, and that was the beginning, if you will, of how I was started building my confidence as a, even as a young, as a child.
Yeah, you really at some point need, there's a couple of pearls of wisdom here. One is you need somebody who's got your back, right? In your instance, it was mom. Mom said, it's okay to let me show you how to throw a punch. And if you're getting bullied, fight back. So it's important to have somebody in your corner and knowing when the second pearl of wisdom here is standing up for yourself, knowing when you've got to be the one, right? I mean, nobody else is going to come to your rescue. You got to find it within yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the key. I think finding it within yourself, knowing that it's there and having a circumstance to bring that out is really important. That's where the nurture part of the nature and nurture comes in. You know, we all have abilities and skills that are inherent to us that we got from our ancestors, your mother, your father, and all your ancestors bring all these things, qualities to you. And you just have to get out there and live life so you can experience and how to focus on those things and be a better person.
Let me put some more context around this. You grew up in what I would call coal country in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Your parents, as I say, were short in stature. You topped out at 5'3", and I think were 110 pounds when you went into the Navy. But along the way, before you got there, you had these experiences that both from your parents, maybe grandparents, that sort of started to shape your life. And there's an analogy that you use about sheepdog that I hadn't heard before that I thought was really helpful to frame this. Tell us a little bit about that.
And that came from some research I was doing about why am I the protector? Why did I go into law enforcement? Why did I go into the military? And during my research, I came across a book called On Combat from Colonel Grossman. And in it, he explains how certain personalities exist in our society. And one of them being a sheepdog, and the sheepdog is the one of is the protector. Now, the sheep don't particularly like the sheepdog sometimes, but you know what? They're willing to live with the sheepdog, and because they know the sheepdog's going to be there to help them if the wolf. And that's the other factor in society. You have the wolves that are going to prey on the sheep. So, when you talk about the sheepdog personality of mine, that's where that analogy comes from, is from Colonel Grossman, and it's a great story. And I agreed as soon as I read it. I was like, this is spot on, because even today, now that you know I've had a career in law enforcement, I'm known, even though I'm retired, I'm known as the unofficial sheriff of my neighborhood, because I'm the one who goes to the city council, and if there's something a safety issue, I petition for it, and I rally my neighbors, and it's just part of who I am.
Now, also to put context in this, I believe you were one of five kids. You somehow convinced yourself you could fly, and you tried jumping off a few things until you proved to yourself, well, this is a bad idea. But you also got yourself scuba qualified at 8 years old. You had a lot of confidence in some of these areas, and in some regards, I think you are telling us confidence trumps maybe IQ.
It sometimes for the bad side of the as you mentioned, I tried to jump off a wall with cardboard wings, thinking I would fly because I had dreams about flying, and I quickly found out that you cannot fly with cardboard wings. So confidence is great, but it needs to be coupled with common sense. And as a child, I pushed, let's just put it this way. When I saw things that were dangerous, that was a motivator for me. So I was often in the hospital getting stitches, sprain, bumps, bruises. And that's just, again, is another personality trait.
One of those personality traits that I think you inherited or got from somewhere is you were really adverse to quitting anything. You know, jump off the roof once, it didn't work, okay, I'm making a different set of wings, let me try it again. You weren't a quitter in any shape or form, were you?
And it happened once, and if you recall, and there was the football story, I decided at 80 pounds I was going to try out for the football team in junior high school, and 80-pound kid playing football against 100, 200-pound kids didn't go well for me, and I quit the team. And it was absolutely devastating for me. It took over a year, really, to get over the fact that I was a quitter. And that had such an influence on me going forward that I swore to myself I was never going to quit anything again. And I haven't. I simply have not. If I take on a task, and even if it's difficult and I don't do well, I learn, I learn from my experiences, and I go forward. I don't look at it as a failure. And if you can never fail in your life, if you look at every single experience as a learning opportunity. So
that's that old, you know, it's not getting knocked down isn't the failure. The failure is failing to get back up. So as long, and you were very persistent and determined to always get back up.
100% spot on.
And you write about success, failures, and focus. And I think this is, you know, the first part of this book is so important for anybody maybe to give to, as I said, their grandkids, their nieces and nephews, their own kids about, look at, if you may feel like you're too small, you're scrawny, you're bullied, you're an outsider, but your story is really about overcoming all that, even when people told you, you're too small, you're too weak, you're a poor runner, you'll never make it in the Navy, you'll never make it in the SEALs. Talk to us a little bit about the mountain you faced as you climbed up it, ultimately, to graduate BUDS and become a Navy SEAL.
Oh, you're absolutely right. My whole life, leading up to before I went into the Navy, I was always told you're too small for this, you're too small for that. You get picked, you don't get picked in grade school for the teams, and then when I was finally get to the point where I'm trying to decide what I'm going to do with my life in high school, and I went to the Navy recruiter and found out that there was the thing called UDT, Underwater Demolition Team, and SEAL teams, and I'd never heard of it before, but it was in a book that he gave me of job descriptions for the Navy. And so I read that and I said, well, this is it. I have to do this. And I was really into Jacques Cousteau, I was into James Bond and Speed Racer and all those shows back in the day. And you know, I read this and I said, wow, I'm gonna be Jacques Cousteau with a machine gun. This is everything I want to do in life. And I went to the recruiter and said, this is it. I'm going to be a UDT SEAL. And he just looked at me and he had a kind of wrinkled forehead. And he said, no, you're not. No, these are UDT SEALs are big, strong guys. You are not, and you are not going to make it. You need to pick something you can really do. Now he was talking to a guy who had been told he's too small to do this his entire life. So I went, but I respected his opinion. I went home, I read everything else in the book. I came back within the next couple of days and I said, no, this is what I'm going to do. And that's it. Sign me up.
It's not that easy, is it though?
For me to make the decision was easy. To go forward with it Of course not. I was terrified. Here's the funny thing about, or the interesting thing about why people don't do things is because they're afraid of the unknown and they're afraid of failure. And of course I was. I was afraid of the unknown. And I've never been out of Pennsylvania. I didn't know anything about anything at 17 years old, joining the Navy. And then I picked probably the hardest job in the Navy to do, physically at least. And I was afraid, but that's life. Everything is a challenge, and especially the things that you don't know that you can accomplish is even more of a challenge. But that shouldn't stop you.
You have a phrase in here which I wrote down, and I want you to expand on a little bit about the lost the battle within the prison of the mind. It's an interesting concept because it goes back to what you just said about being afraid to try something, because I've already convinced myself I can't do that, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that's the first hurdle to the first step on the yellow brick road, right? You can't get to anywhere if you don't get that out of that, to get over the challenge in your own mind that there's a possibility that you could succeed. And there's plenty of examples I use, but for me, when I was, for instance, in going through SEAL training, my biggest challenge was running. I was a very slow runner. My inseam is 28, you know, so.
You got to step twice as much to get to the tall guy at 6'2".
Exactly. I'm practically in a sprint the whole time when they're jogging. And so I fell behind often and often, and they did all kinds of, it's called the goon squad, and they made me do all these crazy exercises, and all the guys that fell behind were in the goon squad. Until finally I was on a run, and I was falling behind again. And this was the do or die situation for me in SEAL training, is I was either going to catch up and be the person that I needed to be in order to succeed, or I was going to quit and I was going to fail. And as I mentioned, that is not in my, you know, vocabulary even then. And so I had this, I want to say it is out of body experience, where I just couldn't even feel my body anymore. I convinced myself I was going to physically be able to catch up with them. And I did. And I caught up with the group. And so we go back to what you just mentioned. How do you unlock the limitations in your own mind that you can't do something? And when you're faced with something like a life or death situation that I felt I was in, that's when the true colors come out.
The other thing buried in that story is having and mentor may be too strong a word, but having somebody, again, who has faith in you, who can tell you tricks of the trade, which is one of the things you got about how to run in sand. And I really thought, like, there's somebody who's trying to help you, even though they're a pretty rough exterior. Talk a little bit about how that helped keep you moving through the process.
I was very lucky to have a mentor when I checked into SEAL training. And he was another guy, short guy, about 5'6". His name was Senior Chief Cassini, Filipino. And he took me aside from the very first day and said, you know, Dave Brown, this is how you're going to have to, what you're going to have to do in order to make it through training. And as I said, I didn't know anything about SEAL training. And so he was there to show me how to do the exercises, how to run in soft sand. And he actually took me out and he worked with me for a few weeks. I checked into training a couple weeks early. So I had a little bit of time for him to show me how to do things, because as you mentioned, there are nuances to everything that can make it easier in a way that you can get through. If he wasn't there to show me all the little nuances, like you said, like running in soft sand, step in the marks of the person in front of you, run in the person's footsteps. What that did, I mean, physically, it made me lengthen my stride, right? So number one, that helped. But mentally, when you're running in the footprints of the person that's making it and succeeding, that actually is that momentum is pulling you forward, and instead of you pushing yourself.
Well, and I think that, again, that's one of, when you read this book, it's really about the human condition. The book is titled And Goliath by David Brown. It focuses you on some, you know, sort of basic rules of life. And one is, don't be afraid to take a little help. And there's always a nuance. There's always, the people before you have always learned a way to get through it. You know, glean some information to them, and your journey will be a little easier, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're very lucky if you can have that type of mentor. And I tried to be that person throughout the rest of my career, helping the people that I hired and as special agents and investigators. And I always told everyone, even the first day I was hired them, I bring them in my office and say, look, I hired you because I feel you have the ability to replace me. And that's my job, is to make you good enough to be able to take my job.
You have a couple of other phrases in here that I wrote down because I think they help everybody understand things. One was, bad never lasts forever. And that's important to link back up to the prisoner of the mind, right? The games that's going on inside your own brain, like, I'll never get through this, it's horrible, this is a bad situation, but it doesn't last forever, does it?
No, it doesn't. And in training, budge training, the way you get through 6 months of hell is you break it down into what we called evolutions. And there were many evolutions in the day, some worse than others. But we always knew mentally that that particular evolution was going to end, no matter how cold it was, no matter how hot, nasty, wet, that when the clock reached noon or whatever, 1, 2 o'clock, when that was, that time ended, the bad was going to be over. And we would survive that evolution. And then you went on to the next evolution, and then the next one. But if you put them all together, it was this giant ball of drama that you could never get out from underneath, knowing that you were going to have to survive 6 months of what you were enduring at that moment. You had to know that it was going to end.
And just endure the moment. Don't get too far ahead of yourself. And again, this is one of these life lessons on the human condition. Right now may not be great, but don't let your mind spin out so far out you can't get through it. You've got to get through the evolution, as you talk about, suck it up and get through the evolution. Now, we're going to run out of time, and this always happens to me because I really enjoyed this book and all the little wisdom in it. But you were in the SEALs, you were in the Navy for, I think, about 7-8 years. You then went into law enforcement. You were a special agent with the National Criminal Investigative Services, NCIS. You were Mark, I'm sure you must have been Mark Harmon's inspiration for the popular TV show. if you could have only got the royalties, right? You then left NCIS and took a leadership position at the Environmental Protection Agency's Criminal Investigative Division, or CID. So from a scrawny little kid in Pennsylvania, this isn't a life you could have ever imagined, was it?
No, not at all. When I got out of the Navy, I remember saying, if I could just make $30,000 a year, I would be set and I could retire.
and now it won't buy a car.
I said to myself, I'm going to get my college degree when I was in the Navy, and I did. I went to night school and I got my degree, and I was going to get out of the Navy and wear a suit and carry a gun, was what I used to say. And so I did that. I went out, and with the same fervor as going to become a Navy SEAL, I attacked being a special agent. And I think I did really well. In the end, I advanced through the ranks in the government terms, GS-7 pay grade, all the way to where I retired as a senior executive.
And part of this is, I want to get across to people, and you'll David's very candid in the book. There's a lot of heartbreak along the way, both personal, marriage-wise, and all of that's in all of our lives. But some of the things you earned early on in your life, pre-Navy, during the SEAL time, I suspect those lessons helped you get through the hard times in the rest of life.
Absolutely. There are physical challenges, and then there are personal challenges and mental challenges. And I don't know which is more difficult. As I mentioned, certainly at the beginning of the book, there's a death. And I say something to the effect that nothing I had experienced in the Navy or in budge training or as a special agent prepared me to deal with the death. And that was hard. It was hard. And it really took me to go back and remember the situations that I had faced, the difficult ones, and said, well, if I can get through that, I can get through this. As we mentioned, it's another evolution. It's not the most pleasant, but it's just another evolution in life.
Well, David Brown, you've had a great career path. I think it's inspirational. The story and Goliath is available from all booksellers online and elsewhere. And I really think it's useful, a useful read for those who may be struggling or have family members or friends who are struggling with sort of all the outside negativity they get about you can't do this, you can't do that, you're too this, you're too that. There's a lot of wisdom in here, and I think you did a great job of bringing that forward in. And Goliath, which is Double Dagger is the publisher, I believe.
Yes. Yep.
Well, thank you for spending some time with Veterans Radio today, David, and wish you nothing but best of luck on the book and in the future.
Thank you for having me, and shout out to all the veterans, all the great job you do out there. It's a safer world because of you.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows
by visiting us at veteransradio.org. That's veteransradio.org. We again want to thank our national sponsors, the National Veterans Business Development Council, NVBDC.org, Legal Help for Veterans, a veterans disability law firm with a national practice before the VA, can help you on your claims and your appeals. It can be reached at legalhelpforveterans.com or 1-800-693-4800. And PuroClean, a leader in property emergency services. It's the paramedics of property damage, providing water damage remediation, flood water removal, fire and smoke damage remediation, mold and biohazard cleanups. You can reach them at puroclean.com or 800-775-7876. We also want to thank our local sponsors. This would include the Charles S. Kettles chapter of the Vietnam Veterans of America, that's chapter 310, VFW Graf O'Hara Post 423, the American Legion Irwin Preskin Post 46 in Ann Arbor as well, the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System, and certainly the National Vietnam Veterans of America Association. You can be a sponsor by going to veteransradio.org, clicking on the About Us and our sponsors, and help us out. Keep this program alive for the 21 and 22 years. Keep us going for another 20. Thank you.